thankful tonight that my Savior has something for me and something for you. Amen? And for anybody that's saved, He's got some things for us. So we ought to just be glad for that. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight, please, just for a few minutes. Last look, if you will, in the book of the Acts, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And look in chapter number 16 with me. Chapter number 16. And in chapter number 16, Paul is, you know, involved in the ministry already. There's things going on. And he, first of all, he gets involved with a young man by the name of Timothy. And then they find that there is an open door over to the area called Philippi. And they get ready to go over to the people of Philippi, the Philippians. And as they go over that way, they begin to preach. And then, of course, you know, every time you get to doing something good, something bad pops up, it seems like. I mean, opposition, problems, and all that good stuff. So here's Paul and Silas, and they cast a demon out of a young lady that has just chased them around. I mean, she's gone all over the place where they've gone. She's chasing them down, and she's giving them trouble. And really, I mean, according to what the Scripture is saying, what she's saying is true. But it just kind of aggravates Paul to know that she is under the control of a satanic demon. And so Paul casts that devil out of her. And if you'll notice that, we'll begin reading in verse number 18. And that, like I say, this girl's been following him around. And it said, "And this did she many days." She kept this thing up. "But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit that's in her, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that same hour. And when her masters saw that their hope of gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates ripped off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul, crying with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we're all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he sat meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this word. Thank you again for your goodness and mercy, grace and love on us. I pray just bless this time, bless your word. Give us something to say tonight that would encourage the saints, that would stir our hearts, and that would challenge us to live for you. And I pray that you'd just speak to some heart, whoever it may be, that needs Christ Jesus as their Redeemer. Show them that the only way to heaven is through Christ. And we'll thank you for that, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to think about this idea, this thought, and this topic, the worth and the witness of your worship. Now, when you worship, your worship is worth something. And your worship gives rise to your witness. I mean, have you ever thought about that? When you're worshiping, it does something. I mean, it is It is there. You know, we talked about this morning about the impression that should be made on us. But when you worship, man, that ought to show this world something. When they see you and they see you worship, and not that you're trying to draw attention to yourself, not that you're trying to be a big shot or, you know, trying to be different than everybody else and say, oh, look at me. But when you begin to worship, it ought to do something to somebody else that's there around you. When you get ready to worship. And I think if you look at these verses here with us tonight, I believe we'll notice that about this happening in Paul and Silas' life. All right, so let's look at it just for a few minutes, if you will. Let's talk about that. First of all, I want you to notice the actions that we see before their worship. I want you to see what has happened here before they come in. Now, they're out there preaching, okay? They're out on the streets. They're out telling folks about Jesus, and here they are. I mean, they're just trying to get the gospel out, as they say. And then, you know, this incident happens. Here they are walking around preaching, and this girl that's possessed with a devil comes up and begins to say things, and it just kind of gets out of hand. And Paul just turns and says, look, devil, get out of here. Amen? And that's what happens. The devil departs from her. But in doing that, this young lady had been, she'd been Miss Cleo. Amen? I mean, they didn't have no 800 number to dial, but all they had to do was come to her, and she would tell them their fortune. She would tell them the future. She'd tell them stuff that, you know, they didn't know. I mean, it was through the spirit of the devil. Now, I hope y'all got that, okay? Because what I'm saying is, stay out of that mess today. Amen? Well, preacher, my horoscope, I don't care what your horoscope says. Amen? I don't care what whoever said, palm readers and tea leaf readers and crystals gazers and all that kind of mess that we got. Stay out of that stuff because it ain't right. Amen? And I'll be honest with you, when I was a kid, I mean a real young kid, some of us idiots got together and played with a Ouija board. And that was stupid, okay? I mean, we ought to learn better than to do stuff like that. Somebody needs to tell kids that. I'm telling you, and what goes on today, I think, is a whole lot more demonic than what went on maybe even when we was kids. And that was bad enough, all right? But we got stuff today. Man, I'm telling you, I see some people and the way that they look, and it just scares me for them, right? I mean, devil. I'm talking about the devil, okay? So here's this girl. She's possessed. And it says here that, Paul, seeing her, it says, being grieved. This grieved him. This aggravated him. This just wore on him and wore on him. And he looked at that devil that was there and said, get out of her. Amen? And when he did, the demon departed. But her masters, those that were running the show for her, saw that their little show was up and they was going to lose money. So they grab Paul and Silas and they take them into the public square and they begin to tell the rulers, you know, here in verse 20, they brought them to the magistrates saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Isn't that the way it is? You bust up somebody's little playhouse and you're a troublemaker for some reason, but and that's what they did. So I want you to see the things that went on before that. I want you to notice, first of all, let's just say that these men, Paul and Silas, were unliked by the people of the city. They didn't like them. You see this? Here it is. They brought them to the magistrates, and it said, they teach customs which are not lawful for us to observe, to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Oh, let's tell you what these guys have done. Can I tell you, folks want to stir up all they can against the church and church people and people that's trying to do so. You better not go in there preaching that. You better not mention the name of Jesus. You better not say anything about salvation. You better not, you better not, you better not. And that's the way that we have some things today. Thank God. Listen, go ahead and tell that story anyway because heaven's keeping account. God's looking for some faithful folks. God will bless His Word and bless His people. And you and I just need to be obedient to Him. Amen. Well, here they are. They're in trouble. You know what? Somebody said this. When Paul came to preach a revival, the preacher didn't need to send out the welcome wagon. He needed to send out the police force to guard him. Amen. It seemed like everywhere he went, there was problems. And that's fine. That's exactly what happened. But you see how that they were unliked. Second of all, I want to see this. They finally wound up under arrest. You see that? It said, the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. About this time, the Baptists would run off crying. Amen? About this time, most of us would say, oh, we're just blah, 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 blah. You know, we'd start crying, belly aching, and carrying on. Can I tell you, that's what the devil wants you to do. I don't see that out of Paul and Silas. They were beaten, they were stripped of their clothing, and they were thrown in jail. They were under arrest. You know what? Oh, Paul probably look at him and say, huh, I've been in better jails than this. This ain't the first time, amen. I've been here before. I'm back again. So here they are. They're unlocked. They're under arrest. But aren't you glad of this? They remain unalterable when looking at their faith. I mean, what did they do? Did they give up? Nope. They got in jail. And look here at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I mean, that didn't shake their faith. Do you know that there are people today that the least little thing that happens, and I'm honest with you, I mean, I've talked to them, you know some probably, somewhere along the line. Well, you know, I would come to church, but somebody said this and that to me. Get over it. I mean, I was talking to a preacher here recently, and he said, you know, I've told people at my church, he said, if I got upset over somebody saying something, he said, I wouldn't ever got started good. Amen? I mean, that's probably most of us in this room. And listen, they're going to say something about you. They'll talk about you. You'll be a good topic. I know I've probably been a good one, and hallelujah. I'll go ahead. Tell them. Hey, go ahead and talk about it. Let me just tell you something. God knows the record. And I'll tell you this. I'm not perfect either, all right? I can make mistakes. I can mess up, and I probably do a lot. But I'm telling you, I'm just saying, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on, man. These guys, hey, they're faith was unalterable. They could not be deterred from what they were and the mission that they were on. They said, we're hanging in here with it anyway. They just went to jail, amen. Well, what are you going to do when you're in jail? Well, do you see what they did? They just said, well, let's just praise God while we're here, amen. Might as well go ahead and have a meeting while we're here, amen. I know Brother George Ashburn told a story here recently about his grandfather, and I think he was probably maybe close to 90 or in his 90s. And he said his grandfather pastored a church for years and got to the point his wife had died and they had to put him in a nursing home. He said, you know what Grandpa did? He said, I went over there to visit him. And one of the nurses, you know, he was talking about what room's he in and Mr. Ashburn and all. And he said, oh, you mean the preacher? He said, yeah. She said, well, he's the pastor of this nursing home. Amen. Huh? Thank God. I mean, that's the way to get, man. If you got to go, thank God, just show up and say, well, I left that flock, but God gave me another. Amen? You know what? Them folks wasn't going nowhere. Amen? They had to show up. They was a captive audience. Well, anyway, here's Paul and Silas and Buddy. They just made the best of where they were. So you see the actions that we see before their worship. But what I want you to look at, secondly, I want you to see the acknowledgments that they made during their worship. You see what it says? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And we're talking about the worth and the witness of your worship. I mean, here they are, and they're in the same jail as that other bunch of crowd, you know. Bunch of thieves and no goods and convicts and everything else in there with everybody together, right? And Paul and Silas right in the middle. You know what they do? They start singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. They started praying and saying, God, we thank you that you let us get in here. We got a safe place. We off the street. That crowd ain't harassing us. Thank God we in here and we just going to preach and pray and sing and have a time. Amen. That's what they decided anyway, right? So here they are. I mean, they're here, and somebody, you know, I got to reading this, and I was wondering, now why, it really kicked in, why were they singing at midnight? And I read several different commentators and books and whatever on this idea, and one guy said this. He said, you know, it may have been that they were in so much pain from the beatings that they had received. Now, I want you to know something. Those things weren't light. Those things weren't, you know, a little slap on the hand. These were beatings that left stripes. It would even tear the flesh. It would cause the blood to flow. As a matter of fact, you can read that on just a little bit later. It talks about how the jailer took them down and he washed their stripes. He took care of their wounds. I mean, they were hurting. And it may have been they couldn't go to sleep. Oh, Paul looked over at Silas. He said, son, you sleep? He said, Paul, it hurts so bad. He said, what about let's just turn over to page 57 and let's sing Amazing Grace. Woo, how about that? And when they got through, maybe Silas looked at him and said, turn over to 305 and let's sing the old rugged cross. Amen. Let's just go to worship. I mean, they decided that this was not going to deter them. Here they are, imprisoned, beaten, bleeding, hurting, and they probably can't go to sleep. But they said, let's just praise God and sing. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, first of all, you notice that this worship that they have. I mean, here's worship in a strange and a probably problematic circumstance. But it came from the nature that they had now within them. What I'm saying is this, your worship ought to come not from whether circumstances are good, whether we're having a great day at church, whether, you know, everything's all fine and the offering's good and the crowd's big and, well, we'll just go to worship today. It doesn't matter about that. It should be the very nature of me and you as Christians to worship the Lord. Amen? I mean, it ought to be down on the inside of it. It ought to be there. I mean, praying and singing was just part of who they were and what they did. It was very common for them to do that. What I'm saying is, it ought to be for me and you too. Come on in here. What are we going to do? We're going to sing. We're going to praise God. Somebody's going to preach. We're going to have a time. Let's go to worship. Amen. Amen. Is that what you came for? You know, sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, I can remember working for a guy down in Atlanta. We was talking about church or something. He said, I go over at blah, blah, blah church. And I knew where it was. Big old, huge church. And I said, really? I said, is that somewhere you've been? He said, no. I go down there because that's all, there's a lot of highfalutin people down there. And, you know, I can make some contacts. And I thought, well, you sorry devil. Amen. Huh? I mean, really? Is that why we're going to church? So we can rub elbows, so we can influence, so we can you know, show our whatever business and, you know, this and that and draw people. No, that's no reason. Brother, I come to worship. Can I tell y'all, I've been to churches a little bit everywhere. And everywhere I went to worship. I've been in churches. We got the privilege of going on some mission trips. I've been in churches where they couldn't speak English. And I was the only one in the room that could. And you know what? I went ahead and worshiped anyway. And them folks worshiped with us. Had an interpreter and they had to tell them what I said. But hey, we just went ahead and worshiped together. Amen? I'm just telling you, it can be done. What I'm saying is this. It ought to be part of the DNA, if you will, of me and you as Christians, is to worship. Amen? It ought to be your very nature. It ought to, wherever you are, we get to go a lot of times to revivals and to preacher meetings and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? We're just going there and worship. Sometimes Lynn look at me and she'll say, you know them? I don't know them. Well, let's go ahead and shout and praise with them anyway. Amen. I ain't got a clue who they are. They don't know who I am. It don't matter. Let's just go to meeting. Amen. Amen. I believe that's what we ought to do. It ought to be part, and this was just part of the nature of Paul and Silas, was let's just go to meeting. When it got midnight, their stripes hurt, the blood was still flowing. I mean, their pain level was going up, and they couldn't sleep, they couldn't rest. You know what they said? Let's just worship, amen. That's what we do anyway, amen. I believe that's what, as I say, it just comes from the very nature, from the very inside of them. But second of all, I want you to know, their worship went and affected their neighbors. Do you see that? It said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Do your neighbors know you're worshiping? Amen? Do they know what's going on? Sometimes, listen, I'm telling you, I've been around some people in neighborhoods, and yeah, I thought we were going to have to call law sometimes. Amen? And you know what they was doing? It's cheering for a football game. Well, you thought somebody died next door or something. Woo, what's going on over there? Woo! You're like, woo, what is it? Scored a touchdown, amen. Huh? Alvin? Hey, but I'm just telling you, let them call them on up. They say, what are them people doing? They're over there shouting and crying and weeping and praising God because they just want to worship Him. Amen. If your neighbors, we ought to, our neighbors ought to hear it, man. I'm telling you, the people around us, the people you contact, the people that you know, the people you're in the presence of, they ought to hear and know that you don't mind worshiping God. Now, I don't mean you got to necessarily run around like a Comanche engine and shout and do. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying somebody ought to know that you're worshiping God. You know, I've seen folks worship God and a tear run down their face. They're worshiping God. I've seen some, their heart just swell and a big smile come on their face. I've seen some of them throw their hands up, and I've seen some of them bow their heads, and I've seen some of them get into some places of humility and prayer and whatever. But, hey, somebody knew that those folks was worshiping God right from their very heart. And these prisoners, you know, it did something to them. When they heard them praising God, singing, and then all of a sudden this earthquake happens, do you realize what really happened? It said the doors all came open, but nobody went anywhere. They realized, hey, this didn't just happen. Those two fellas right there and the worship that they've been involved with, it's got something to do with this, and we better not make a move. Amen? I mean, there was some respect that came from for their worship or from the fact that they were worshiping, and their neighbors heard it. Do you know what we ought to be? We ought to be unashamed of our worship. You ought to just be unashamed of it. Unafraid to worship and unrelenting in continuing to worship. I mean, that's what you and I should be. I mean, just unafraid. Amen? I mean, just go ahead. Somebody look at you and say, well, you know, something about how's the weather, what's going on. God's good. And watch it. I mean, do it sometimes. You know what they do? People just stop in their tracks and they don't know what to say. I guess you're right. I mean, sometimes they have no idea what to do. Just go ahead and worship. Just go ahead and praise God. Just go ahead and thank God. Go ahead and pray over your food. Let folks know that you don't mind. You're unafraid. You're unashamed. And you ain't going to give it up for them. You're just going to go ahead and go on. Amen? I mean, that's what we ought to be doing. Let your neighbors know that you're not afraid of worshiping the Lord. So it was part of their nature. This worship went to their neighbors. But I want you to notice this. The best thing about it is this worship drew a noise from heaven. Amen? I mean, the Bible says right here, and suddenly, while they're singing, while they're praising God, while they're praying, it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. I don't. Lynn told me, was it yesterday or the day before? She said, did you know there was an earthquake? And it wasn't, you know, necessarily, it was kind of north of us here, and it was small, 2.3 or something like that on the scale. And, you know, I didn't feel it. I thought I burped. Amen. here a few weeks ago, we had one. Y'all remember that? It was about a 3-point something. And I was sitting in the living room. And I think maybe she had taken a shower, was, you know, doing her hair, doing something. And I was sitting in the living room, and something went brr, brr, like that. And I thought, wow, like that. And I don't know what happened, you know. And I thought, well, did the air conditioning kick on? Did maybe the dryer just kicked on? I mean, I didn't know what had happened. And then in a few minutes, you watch on the news, they said, wait, it's had an earthquake. I mean, it wasn't anything real noticeable, you know, tremendously so. This one shook the foundations of that prison. This was a terrific movement of God. And it was from God. We'd be guaranteed that that's what happened. God came in, and there was a noise that came to them, and they knew that heaven was making the noise. Amen? A long time ago, Brother Mays Jackson, some of y'all might remember Brother Mays Jackson, old preacher. He could not say Elvis Presley. He called him Eblis. He said, Eblis Presley.
sang about the jailhouse rock, but Paul got it before he did. Amen. I mean, there was the jailhouse that rocked, and there was Paul and Silas, and buddy, they wasn't more. They knew God was in heaven. They knew God had control, and they knew God opened all the doors and let them loose from the... Hey, they just said, let's worship and see what He does. Can I tell you, sometimes me and you just need to worship. It may look ugly. It may look bad. It may look hard, but go ahead and worship and see what He does anyway. Amen? Not that they were expecting that. Not that they said, God, now you got to. No, sir. They just went ahead and worshiped. God said, I'm going to help you boys out. Amen. And He did. Thank God. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad our worship, when there's some acknowledgement that happened. There was an acknowledgement from the prisoners. There was an acknowledgement from God. Here pretty soon you see there was an acknowledgement from the jailer himself. And boy, I mean, hey, that worship did something. It affected some people. I mean, it moved. It did. And I'm telling you, if we'll worship, I mean really, truthfully, in spirit and in truth, worship God, it'll do something. Amen. It'll do something. I believe God was pleased. I believe God was honored. And I believe God said, I will do this in respect to those boys. And I believe He did it. I want you to look at one last thing with me, if you will. And let's notice the accomplishments that we see because of their worship. The accomplishments. Look in verse number 27. It said, the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. If you go before that, you'll see that it said they straightly charged him. They charged him with Paul and Silas. What that means is they said, if these men get loose from this prison, it means your life. You are under a charge from the government to make sure these boys, nothing happens to them. You better make sure they show up in the morning. We're going to have the officials come, and they're going to take them and do whatever they're going to do with. And they said, you in charge, and you better keep them safe and secure. And it said he, realizing that, when he saw all the doors was open, all things had happened, he just pulled his sword out and thought he'd just kill himself, keep from whatever happened tomorrow happening, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. I mean, as it said, all the doors open. Every man's door was open. Paul and Silas free from their shackles. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Nobody's moved. We're here. We ain't gone nowhere. It said, then he called for a light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Can I tell you this? First of all, the accomplishments that happened from their worship. First of all, there was some conviction that came on the scene. Amen? I'm glad God can still convict old sinners of their sin. Now, a lot of folks say, oh, well, preacher, you just decide and you go down there and you snap your bubble gum and get up snapping your bubble gum and everything's okay. No, sir. I believe in a good old Holy Ghost convicting power of God. Amen? I mean, when God breaks your heart, the Bible tells us that God is looking for, in sinners, He's looking for a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I believe that's what happens. You know what, David? David begins to plead in that psalm where we read about him telling and asking God, oh, God, don't, you know, forgive me of my sins, please, because I've wronged you and I'm the wrong person and I've done this myself and nobody else. You know, he begins to plead and cry out and beg God. I'm talking about some old-fashioned conviction. You ever been that convicted over something of your sins and what you do? I'm talking about when God gets a hold of you, and it's just about like He takes you and dangles you out over hell and says, boy, you're headed there if you ain't careful. I mean, old-fashioned, heaven-sent conviction. This boy got it. He got shook up. He got all tore up. It said he called for a light, and he sprang in. He came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. He didn't fall down for all the prisoners. He knew where it come from. He'd heard it. He probably heard the singing and the preaching and the praying and all of whatever, the witness and the worship that was going on. Man, he heard it all. And he said, what have I got to do to be saved? And old Paul said, I tell you what you got to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you can get saved. Amen? That's pretty simple, isn't it? You see, there is conviction. There is conviction. And thank God because of that, you see, there was a conversion. It says in verse 31, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when they brought him into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Wow! They had them a little revival right there in this man's family. And it was because Paul and Silas wasn't afraid to just give the witness of their worship. Amen? There was a conversion. It wasn't just the jailer. It was everybody in whoever was in his household. That generally means his wife, his kids, and if he had any servants and anybody else, they all got saved. Amen? You know what he said? Y'all listen to these men. Let me tell you what happened. And he began to tell. They were in the prison, and the earthquake happened, and they got loose, and they didn't go nowhere. And they told me I could be saved, and I got to believe in Jesus. Buddy, y'all get lined up and believe in Jesus yourself. Amen. Huh? I was listening to somebody here the other day talking about going to church, and they was telling a story about this lady and, you know, the situation around about her, and I don't remember all that, but she was pretty rough and, you know, didn't, and her husband died. And a preacher from the church had gone and visited and helped her and maybe conducted the funeral and done all that, and that lady didn't know nothing, and he invited her to church. She came to church, and in 2 weeks, she got saved. I thought, wow, that's great. She said, but wait, there's more to the story. She brought her kids the next week, and they got saved. Two kids got saved. But wait, she had a friend, and she brought her the next week, and she got saved. And then before it was all over, there were seven people that was in connection with it. Seven people got saved in a matter of a few weeks because, hey, somebody didn't mind giving the witness of the Lord Jesus and letting them know what he could do for them. Amen. See, I'm just telling you, that's the way this works. There is something behind it. You see, the convicting power. You see the conversion that happens here to this man. But then, I like this part. You see that communion that happened in verse number 34? And when he had brought them into his house, he sat meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Can y'all see this old boy? I don't know. He's probably rough. He probably, you know, he was a jailer. You know anybody's connected with the jail or the prison system or whatever, they're usually, you know, they've been seen a lot and they understand a lot and they're pretty rough. But you know what he did? He said, Paul, you and Silas come down to the house. I want to fix supper for you. I want to feed you some good food, not some of this stuff they got here in the jail. I want to give you some good food. Brought him in and sat him down at his table. He said, Paul, will you ask the blessing over? And Paul probably began to pray, probably began to thank God. He said, I've heard that before. Go ahead on, amen. He began to tell God he's glad he saved that boy and he saved him, saved his family. He just, woo, we're just glad God's doing what he does. And they rejoiced in what God had done for them. There was some communion there among them as believers. Boy, isn't that amazing? All of this started. And see, sometimes you don't know. You cannot understand what God's doing sometimes. Well, that's bad. Paul and Silas got thrown in jail. Do you see how God used it? Turned it all the way around and worked it for his good. You remember what Joseph said to his brethren? He said, when y'all sold me into slavery, when y'all left me down there in that pit, when I got in that jail down from Potiphar's wife trying to seduce me, when all of that happened, y'all meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. God moved me from here to here to here to the place that I'm in right now, and thanks and praise be unto God. Amen. Sometimes we don't understand. I can't figure out what God's doing all the time. Can you? I give up trying. I don't know what he's doing. All I got to do is just show up and say, God, let me be part of it. Amen. Can I just worship you? And when we do, when we do it in the way that it should be approached and given, hey, look what happens. This man got saved. His family got saved. And, I mean, then there's over there shouting with the preacher. Amen. Amen. I mean, wow, isn't that great? I mean, that's a great story. But you know what? We see it play out in place after place, day after day, time after time, when people come to know the Lord. How did that happen, preacher? Because they realized that their witness affected somebody the way when they got out there and worshiped, that worship affected somebody when they said, here, let my worship witness to you. You know what you need to do in this church many times? Just go ahead and worship. Well, what if they laugh? It don't matter whether they laugh or whether they laugh. I've seen people do that. But you know what? I've seen God get a hold of them, change their life. And I've seen them come back and say, I used to make fun of you. I used to do this and that and the other. But I sure do praise God for what you did. For how you stood, how you didn't back up, how you didn't give in, how you just kept on going. Amen? I remember a long time ago, Brother Lamar Abbott, some of y'all probably know him, he said when he was not saved, he used to work with Brother Bill Castile, that was the preacher here at this church. And he said, we'd go up, he said, I'd smoke these big old cigars. He said, I'd take me a big old draw of that cigar. And I'd go up, and he said, I'd blow it right in Brother Bill's face. Just to aggravate him. He said, I'd take a big old draw, and I'd go over and just to see what he'd do. He said, Brother Bill would look at me, and he'd wipe that smoke away. And he said, boys, okay, let's go back to work. He said, I'd aggravate him. He said, I'd do everything I could. I'd mess up the paint. I'd, you know, try to cause problems with our jobs and all that. He said, I'd do all that, just see how he'd react. He said, you know what? He just kept on doing what he's doing. He said, I know he had to get mad, but he never said a word. I mean, he might say something, okay, let's cut that out. Let's go back to work. And they'd do that. He said, but I never could trip him up, make him fluster, get him to fuss or yell or carry on with him. He said, never did. He said, but you know what? I watched him. He said, and then when I got saved, I had to go apologize to him for all those things that I'd done. He said, but I'd watched him, and he said, and you know, he was a real man of God. Can I tell you, folks are watching you. They want to see your words. They want to know if that's real or not. They won't know if you're real or not. Brother, let's just be real. Let's just show them that Jesus is real. Salvation is real. Heaven is real. Hell is a real place. Let's just prove that to them tonight. And you let your worship become a witness to all the things that are going on in this old crazy world. And you know what? God can get honor and glory out of our lives. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's sing a verse of a song.